The McElroy brothers are not experts. And their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
One, two, three, four.
It's the start of something beautiful. A small acquaintance has blossomed. It's ripened into a precious friendship. It feels like it's better with you. My life, it's better with you. This is true, it's better with two. My life, it's better with you.
Hey, everybody, hey, welcome, my brother, from the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
Jesus. Hi. I don't know why that was so fast.
I took so long getting to the here,
yeah,
and I didn't have enough Montaigne to say the words.
Okay. What's up, Trav Nation? I'm your middle-aged brother, Travis of Vroom Vroom McElroy.
How's it going, Trav Nation? It's me, your sweet baby brother, 30 under 30 media luminary Griffin, Bill Ford of McElroy. I noticed that someone had put a big pile of gum on the stage. I didn't pick it up because I'm not going out like that.
Yeah.
I'm not saying most of you would be capable of poisoning us.
I wasn't even worried about that. I'm worried about trick gum.
Okay.
You did?
The gum mystery has been solved. I will say that this is mostly an audio-based, mouth-based medium. But thank you for thinking of us.
Speaking of which, though, I do want to give a special shout-out to the people who fueled tonight's show. Angry Line Cook brought their food truck and made us some delicious burgers.
Yummy.
So if the show is especially meaty and delicious...
That's why.
That's why. Thank you, Angry Line Cook.
Thank you. That meal didn't need anything for me but a tiny sweet treat to wash it all.
Okay.
Okay, so...
Here's what happened.
A tiny sweet treat to wash it all down.
About 5:45, Griffin comes down. Justin and I are finishing our delicious burgers. Griffin says, are you guys ready to prep for the show? Justin says, yeah, let us finish digesting first, and then we'll head up and we'll prep.
As if that's a span of time that is universally recognized. It takes like 18 hours to digest something, I think.
So Griffin leaves to go to the room where we're going to prep. 30 seconds later, Shannon comes in. Shannon helps with like our social media and communication stuff. She's here at the show tonight.
Hi, Shannon.
She comes in and she goes, hey, I'm going to go to the candy store around the corner. Does anyone want to go? And Justin's like, yeah. And leaves the building.
Okay. So the Hoops troops are going to be with me on this one. I just know it. Here was my rationale. Candyland was the name of a store. They had little gummy bears that I love, and
yeah,
I wanted it. So our jobs aren't hard, and I know that, right?
Right.
And I knew that if I tried to do a show knowing that I hadn't gotten the candy that I wanted, yeah, I wouldn't be giving you the show that you deserve.
Right.
Yeah, but J-Man,
you don't want me to resent you.
The three of us work very hard to pretend like our jobs are hard and important. And when you choose candy over doing them, it really drives home like,
yeah,
oh no, the fiction's been eroded away.
Right. So I think some of the more salient points you may have missed. So I'll start back at the beginning. I did want the candy.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I don't know if I...
How was it?
Yeah, it was very good. I got some caramel corn. It was like called like Yummo Snack or something like that. It was fantastic.
It was called Yummo Snack?
Snackaline or something like that.
Wow.
It was great. And then they had a Bomb Pop flavored taffy. I got that for the kids. And some chocolate rocks. You love those?
If later on in the show, Justin's falling behind in the choreography a little bit, just know it's because that was the section of the rehearsal that he missed for the candy.
That's very true. I will say it's a lovely shop, though, and you should be proud, St. Paul. I don't know why my brothers are so against supporting local businesses. I'm just trying to buy the candy I can with the time that I have on this earth.
Yeah.
I like my local businesses on wheels, moving around to wherever I am, instead of me having to leave where I am and go to them, Justin.
Very That's a good fair, point. Sure. That's a really good point. So,
Are there candy food trucks? I'm locking that in. TM.
You can't.
I'm an avid disc golfer, and I need something cool to say or do when I hit an ace, which is basically when you get a hole in one. What are some cool things I can say or do when I get an ace? That's from Ace Venturer. I'll try again. Ace Venturer in Apple Valley. Are you here?
Are you here?
Hey.
Yeah. Hey.
What's up?
Sorry, can we try that one more time? Are you here? Okay, cool. No, I'm sorry. There were like 9 people.
I think some people were excited about Apple Valley.
Okay.
Hey. We can be neutral or excited about a place. Don't shit on Apple Valley. I don't know anything about it, but people live there, I'm sure.
We can knock this one out of the park.
As easy as we can score an ace 100% of the time.
Well, yeah.
I thought you guys would say
that's
that.
That's what you all don't know about us, is when we're not podcasting, like every second we're not podcasting.
Flinging that frizz.
We're frolfing left and right.
Slinging them, gang.
So,
slinging them dirty
I knew that
style.
That would be easy. That's something we could have done in our first 700 episodes. So I've decided to up the difficulty with the following question. I'm a wedding photographer, and as you can imagine, I end up saying the phrase, okay, now kiss, a lot. It gets repetitive. I want to mix things up. So do you have any alternative phrases or things I can say to get couples to kiss? That's from Macking in Minneapolis. Are you here? Okay, all so right. What I am suggesting to you guys is I only want phrases that work for both.
Put it in there.
No, okay. So, right. That's I warned everyone that he would do that.
And he
has now.
Can we be serious now?
Thank you. Thank you. Smooched?
That's cool.
It's gonna be
a lot easier to do the disc golf one than the one where you tell two people to kiss. So I do think focusing maybe first step on what can you say to two people to make them kiss that will not get you in jail.
I'll tell you what it is. I didn't expect the tense to be tripping me up as much as it has, but it's very hard to celebrate something in the past and also encourage something in the future.
That is the main
with
challenge.
The same
you can't say smooch shit because
smooch
they haven't
it.
Yet.
That's how you smooch it. No.
No. No. Show me how you smooch it.
Okay, let me...
That's my favorite. I love the original Smash Bros, but every time Captain Falcon hits that B special... That's how you smooch it.
What about Smooch City?
Smooch City is pretty good.
Smooch City?
Yeah. I mean, smooching doesn't mean anything. In the golf context, we all understand that's just a sound.
This is just a celebratory. It doesn't have to relate to golf. To frisbee golf, excuse me. How offensive. But it just has to sound celebratory enough
that
you would yell it upon a successful ace.
Yeah, most jubilant sort of exaltations are usually not sport specific. Like, you're rarely like, basketball the shit out of that one.
Now that I've hit an ace, I want to watch two people kiss.
Now, hold on. Travis is on to a little life hack here. Because you can be like, hit that ace. Hit that Bad Ace is not bad, because hit is both a command and also a past tense reference.
French that ace!
French? I don't think the... I'm not a wedding photographer. I don't think you have to specify the depth of insertion of the kiss that you're taking
okay,
a picture of.
Okay. I want to... This one is a little bit wordier.
Yeah. Okay.
But what about today you've shown us all how it's done, and I can't wait to see what's next. And then if it's with the wedding, you start going like, huh?
No.
Like
no,
raising
hold on.
Your eyebrows.
Let him cook.
That was the whole recipe.
Oh, shit.
I guess what I'm confused about, Justin, is say I'm saying this. I hit an ace.
Yeah.
And then I say, today, you've shown us all how it's done. And I can't wait to see what comes
next. I admitted early on we were having some tense issues.
No, this is actually, and we rarely have this, a pronouns issue.
Yeah.
I made the ace, and someone else showed me how it's done. Is my dad there who taught me to play disc golf?
Okay, all right. Today, I think we've all seen pretty good how it's done.
I love it. Justin was like, we're going to have a tense issue.
Okay.
I'm going to lean on that as hard as I fucking possibly can.
Okay. Today, I think we've all seen together how it's done.
Yeah.
And I think this is the moment we've all been waiting for.
I think, just to run it back to, if this is a singular line of wedding photography, if you imply the moment you've been waiting for is getting to see them kiss, that's deeply upsetting.
How about this?
Okay.
How about this? And it depends. I think it works in either situation depending on the sort of emphasis that you put on it, which is, you know that's what I want to see.
It's the, okay,
I gotta see it.
No, you know that's what I gotta see. Everyone's gonna look around like, what did we do? What
but
did he like
you
see?
You know what I want to see versus... You know what I want to see.
Okay.
What about this? In that line. Okay, big moment.
That's cool. Oh, man. Travis, you blew it wide open. This is not only a great catchphrase for when you have a moment of athletic achievement, it's a nice vibe to bring to any kind of athletic event. You make a big three-pointer to win the game, you stop. Okay, big moment.
Yeah, just internalize that. I'm gonna take a mental picture of this so I remember it on my failure days that I've always been great and I don't need every day to be great. And also, I need you two to kiss now.
Okay.
Was all of that out loud? Shit.
You sink a hole in one with the frisbee. Sorry, disc. And then after you sink the hole in one, you look at the next player, you say, on your tempo. And then you walk away.
So you've changed the rules of the game.
No. The game is fair. So this is a celebratory phrase, but it's a little more braggadocious. Keeps it a little more calm.
Okay, but no, I think a celebratory phrase must be delivered as soon as the disc goes in the chain hole or whatever.
The disc goes in the hole. You look at the next player on your tempo.
That fast?
Yeah.
That's a power
move.
You
don't even look to see if it goes in, right?
Yeah. Oh.
Like, when you're ready... And then it goes in.
Yeah.
When
you're ready is good.
It's actually a little
is
bit better.
Is it good to make a athletic achievement and say when you're ready?
But it's like you're ready for their turn because you know yours is going to go in the hole.
Yeah.
This isn't legally binding, you know.
What do you think about get to the hole?
Travis, I don't think hole.
You have a lot of bad ideas tonight, I
plant.
You said when you're ready. After hitting a hole-in-one, you also said you've shown me how to do it. Which, you know what? If you're picturing that directed up to the heavens about your walk with Christ,
that's great.
That actually works really well. I can't take the credit. He's shown me how to do it.
Yeah.
I'm disc golfing with
the
Lord.
Hey, plant one on the hole, Christ. Hey.
Put a comma in there. Plant one on the hole. Christ, come on. This is the moment I've been waiting for.
All right. Well,
when you're ready.
I do think the best option is something of a sort of a circus ringmaster of, and now the moment we've all been waiting for. Yeah. No, you can't say
no,
that.
You hit the ace, or you're trying to get him kissed, and you say, "This is the greatest show," and you just announce it.
Yeah.
That actually doesn't work if you're watching someone kiss.
No,
I said it out loud, and I pictured it.
Does a fanfare work? Could you give either situation a
kiss?
No, if you do that, okay. If you're a wedding photographer and you've done all the other shit, and then you're like, bum, 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 they're gonna get it, I think.
Can you establish amongst your cohorts a sort of disc golf persona that you call Dr. Kiss? And then when you get one in the chains, I don't know, but it's gonna make our jobs way easier. It's going to give us access. It's going to give us access to a lot more kissing-based vernacular.
How about another question?
Yeah, sure.
My dad has recently started a semi-popular fishing Instagram, and it started getting recognized in our small hometown. How does he deal with his new fishing fame, and how do I deal with my new Nepo baby status? That's from Fishing for Compliments. Are you here? Hello.
Oh, hello.
I can't believe you came. I'm so honored.
We're such big, big fans of your daddy's fish channel.
First of all,
we were just watching backstage.
Yeah.
We're hooked.
Good. 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 Correct.
We grew up in the harsh limelight of local fame, as you know.
True.
We dealt with a lot of people telling us that they used to listen to our dad a long time ago, or asking us if our dad's still on the air, or asking us if our dad's still alive. So we know what this is like.
Or asking if our dad can get them tickets to the Big Billy Ray Cyrus concert.
And yeah, of course he can.
But he
still,
won't.
But he won't.
You can't have that kind of act. It's the access that's the issue. It's the access that's the issue, because now we have an even more famous dad. That makes it sound like we got a new, different... Our own dad escalated in fame entirely thanks to us, but...
What I've seen, it still
counts.
There's a lot of discussion these days about, like, Nepo babies and stuff, and what I've seen is oftentimes... A Nepo baby. Why'd you laugh? I haven't gotten to the punchline yet. Oftentimes what Nepo babies will do...
Hey, you can laugh whenever you want.
That's
just
true.
Just for the record, I'm...
It just scared me.
I'm big into it.
And Nepo babies will try to swing hard away, while still being in the industry, but hard away from like what their parents did to set out on their own. So, what if you started carrying around a fishbowl with a live fish in it?
Right.
Which I think is the opposite of fishing.
That's right. It is, Travis.
You define
because
yourself.
Fishing is getting the fish and pulling it out of the water. And you're like, this fish stays in
you
the
You ride
water.
On the bowl, not for dad.
Don't
not
even
this
try
one,
to
daddy.
Catch this guy.
I'm working hard to keep this fish alive.
This guy is protected, dad.
The fish you'll never catch. Oh, that's got
to build
a
little outpost in the neighborhood pond with a harpoon gun slung over your shoulder. And when someone comes by, say, don't even think about it.
Start training the fish to use the harpoon gun when you're not around.
Because then what are people going to say? Oh, they're only in charge of the pond because their dad's a famous fishing influencer. No, that doesn't make any fucking sense.
Can you cash in on your dad's name and success before he does? Can you start selling branded lures for this picture on them?
I'm going to throw out, it just popped in my head, but call the brand a Finfluencer.
Yeah.
And then use that.
Or don't, I guess.
That was the lukewarm, the cold reaction. I get it. I thought Finfluencer was really
sometimes
good.
Sometimes we do A-B testing on you all, and we appreciate your compliance.
Yeah, our metric is usually
I've
this.
Said before.
If a room of people who have paid to be here because they enjoy us doesn't enjoy the joke, we tend to let it go. That's about as warm of a reception as you can hope for, honestly.
Because it's like fish have fins, right?
Okay.
Okay, I got it now. That's really good.
I don't think you do, Justin.
No, I got
and
it.
And the word influencer.
Save us, Justin. Rescue us, Justin, please.
Here's another question. My partner and I are in our early 40s. One of our hobbies is playing pinball. And it's grown to the point where we now own 30 pinball machines.
And we each have 60 arms.
We want to invite our coworkers from our new jobs over to our place, but we are not sure how to address the pinball machine in the room.
I'm sorry, do you mean the 30 pinball machines?
Yeah.
In the room?
If we ever invite people over without disclosing the pinball machines and they arrive at essentially an arcade shoved into a house, that seems awkward to explain in the moment. However, if we tell people we have all these pinball machines, we are afraid we will seem like real weirdos. And people will never come over in the first place. What should we do to ease people into our home? And that's from flipping out in Minnesota.
Are you here? Hello.
Hi.
Listen.
Please don't be scared.
Before we make any jokes, I want to make one thing clear. If you love pinball machines that much, and they would think you were weird for having pinball machines, you don't need them as friends.
But, okay. Thank you. That's a very, very good point. But
yes.
No one's going to be like, if you ask, do you want to come hang? I got 30 fucking pinball machines. No one's going to be like, no way, man. What do you live in? An arcade?
That would actually rule.
That fucking rules.
Yeah. What I love about that is I will often finish a round on a pinball machine and think, I got about as much out of that storyline as I was going to. I hope there's more pinball machines with in-depth plot. But what's that right next to it? Why, it's the Addams Family. I can't wait to find out what happens on that 2x6-inch screen.
Okay.
I actually do that. That's true.
The problem, okay. I've been doing a little bit of this with like little arcade cabinet in my basement that I've been messing around with. Thank you very much.
You didn't use the plural. Stand on your business and lead by example. You have many arcade machines in your basement.
I have a bunch of little rinky-dink arcade machines I'm making myself.
Some are taller than I am.
They're great.
This is what I'm saying.
You have built these arcade machines.
Okay.
Put the stuff in them. They're incredible.
Okay. I just don't want to seem bougie, all right? I made them.
Oh, that's a real issue. If you say, I have 30 pinball machines, I'll be like, fucking 1% bougie asshole. Yeah.
You need to clarify, because you said this in the extra details in your question, that you don't have kids. Lead with that, because that immediately made me understand how you're able to have
30
pinball machines and just, they can't all be on at the same time, right? Just to clarify, or else you'd lose your mind, right? Right? Okay.
I think that with pinball machines, arcade machines, it's a similar problem you're going to have, is that when someone comes over, even if they're excited about the machines, there comes that moment afterwards where you have to be like, well, I'm going to go some other place. Because being in the room with you and watching you decide what to do in here, I am going to kind of lurk around the corner in case you get stuck with any of the machines and how they work or don't work. And then I'll spring out of nowhere and pretend like I wasn't watching you, even though I was watching
now,
you.
If you do make that part of your sales pitch, the allure of 30 pinball machines will be lost on me, and I will not want to attend that function, unfortunately.
But what I do love, because what you've established here, is you could have so many people over, because for me, as much fun as I'm having playing a pinball machine is exactly a polar opposite of the lack of fun I have watching someone else play a pinball machine.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, nice move.
Yeah. Cool, man. Oh, there it goes. And so having another pinball machine that I can use while someone else is using a pinball machine would alleviate a lot of the boredom from taking turns.
Okay. You get a friend to come over.
Good start.
And you tell your other friends, everybody, your coworkers, you're having a pinball party. And then you invite a friend to come over, and this friend has a t-shirt a button-down polo shirt, and on it, it says, Pete's Periodic Pinball, and it's a pinball rental service, right? So everybody shows up for the pinball party, and if it goes really good, then you tell people, like, hey, good news, I decided to buy out...
That would
if
make it.
If it doesn't go good, yeah. Right? If everybody's like, this is, sucks,
yeah.
You could be like, yeah, it does, but you guys can't come over anymore, but dang. I'm really going to have a word with Pete. I thought it'd be way more fun and cool.
Oh, guys, you're not going to believe this. Pete's Periodic Pinball burnt down, and they said I could keep all the machines. Can you believe that shit?
It turned out my uncle worked at Pete's Periodic Pinball, and he died, and yeah. Now the machines are mine. Like,
there was a codicil in his will that if I could get 100,000 points on the Addams Family machine, and long story short...
And I got trapped in the machine for a while. I was shrunk down. I had to run around from the bit. Anyways, you don't want to get bored with all of this. See you Friday.
Everything we said is way more normal than just saying, yeah, I'm a pinball enthusiast who has 30 pinball machines.
There's way weirder shit people could have in their house.
Yeah.
You need a room that before that room that has one in it.
Like an airlock.
Yeah, exactly. You need them to acclimate to the idea that you own a pinball table, right? You need them to like compress.
I mean, ideally, you'd have, I think if my math is correct, like 8 rooms where it's like 1 pinball machine, 2 pinball machines, 4 pinball machines.
Yeah.
Okay, it has to follow room and like
Fibonacci sequence.
Fair
or
enough.
Else.
Fair enough. The idea.
If they start freaking out, you go back to 8 for a while.
I think the ideal is 2 machines. Because then it's not like you inherited it from your grandpa, right? You liked it a lot. You got 2. And you let them acclimate to that and you judge their response because it will be exponential.
Okay. 2 machines in the room and then a real beefy extension cord running out of the room through a hole in the wall with a lot of noise and lights coming from underneath the door. And you wait for them to ask about it. I'm like, oh, yeah, you want to see the other 28?
I got them in rotation. No big deal.
This is where I keep the ones that are chill. These pinball machines can hang.
Would you like another question?
How about a segment?
Thank
you. I want a munch!
Squaw!
I want to munch
squad.
Welcome to Munch Squad. It's a podcast. Within a podcast, profiling the latest and greatest in brand eating, and this one's gonna drive you wild if you're a gamer.
Oh.
Hell yeah, man. I love all that shit.
I got 2 stories, one for the gamers, one for the non-gamers. Let's start with the gamers. Tail.
Finally, we come for our rights are considered first. Finally, someone's thinking about us.
Let's see. Can we see the goods? The goods? Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. So
God, man,
Krispy Kreme is featuring. You're being driven wild by desire. It's okay. I know.
No, I'm just once again reminded, and I know I comment on this every time, that without fail, they'll be like, all right, we made some cool donuts, and here's just some loser
you
donuts.
You can't have
that
12 cool
in.
Donuts in the same
yeah,
box.
You can't
lose
have
your
12
mind.
Fun ones. Okay.
Ready? You got to have one for grandma.
Sure.
She don't play games. She wouldn't understand a Pac-Man.
They get scared of the ghosts.
They went so hard. Ready, players?
Christy? Yeah! That's what we call ourselves.
Ready, players? Krispy Kreme today announced an amazing collaboration with Bandai Namco Entertainment America, Inc. for Pac-Man's 45th anniversary, celebrating the global cultural icon with all-new donuts inspired by the classic game. Fans will want to chop these new donuts before
it's... what?
Chop these new donuts. Chomp these new donuts before it's game over.
Yeah! Like before you die?
No.
Trust me, guys, if you gamers get up to heaven and St. Pete's like, do you eat them donuts? And you're like, no, he'll send you straight to hell.
Available beginning today for a limited time at participating U.S. shops, the Krispy Kreme X Pac-Man collection features 3 new donuts in a nostalgic, custom Pac-Man game dozen box. That's the sweetest Pac-Man level ever, including the Pac-Man Party Donut. It's an original glazed donut piped with yellow buttercream flavored icing, sprinkled with celebration sprinkles, and top with a Pac-Man piece.
I would love a more mature gamer fare.
How about a Team Ghost donut? An unglazed shell donut filled with chocolate flavored creme, dipped in black icing and decorated with black Pac-Man mace, and topped with a Team Ghost piece.
Can I just say I love how they've left a little shard of cream there to let you know there's cream dollop in this.
Yeah, don't get it twisted. It's shit and cream.
Also, inevitably, in every box that Dunkin' Donuts puts together, there's always one donut that you know the donut chefs at the actual Krispy Kreme brick-and-mortar locations see for the first time and go, God damn. Fuck, really? That's so many different things. Ah.
Hey, Derek, you're the one that's going to take care of those, right? Yeah. I'll do the ones that require steady hands. Don't worry.
And then we got, lastly, the Strawberry Power Berry Donut. It's an unglazed shell donut featuring strawberry-flavored cream dipped in red icing and topped with white sprinkles and green leaf icing.
That looks incredible.
Yeah.
And there's no way it looks like that when I buy it at this store.
It will look exactly like that, but it will be as hard as a rock. Pac-Man is one of the most recognized video game characters of all time and has made an impact on the world by connecting with people across ages and borders and genders. I swear to God, that's what it says.
A big swing.
Through the power of play for over 45 years, just as Krispy Kreme connects people through the sweetness of enjoying and sharing donuts.
Wow. That's so cool that they can be like, Pac-Man fixed everything, and so did we.
Hey, listen. Krispy Kreme is also celebrating thusly. They're aiming to give guests 45,000 free original glazed donuts between May 12th and 18th.
If you can eat them before a ghost gets you.
Yeah. It's during hot light hours, which is 7 to 9 and 5 to 7, or whenever the hot light is shining. And if you can, in honor of Pac-Man's...
That's not like a sex thing. It's when the donuts are fresh.
In honor of Pac-Man's love of fruits, if fans help achieve this high score, they'll unlock the return of Krispy Kreme's popular strawberry glazed donut, which the brand last offered for a limited time in August 2023. That's right.
So they're holding... Okay. They're holding the strawberry frosted donut hostage.
Yeah.
Until we can get off our fat asses and eat 45,000 donuts.
Free donuts. They want you to eat 45,000 free donuts, and then they will give you back the strawberry donut that you fucking
while
love.
While they just sit and watch as America eats 45,000 donuts. Yeah, dance for us. Eat the donuts. We'll give you more donuts.
you know, Dave Skenna's got to get up on this.
Oh, give us some Dave Skenna.
These all-new Pac-Man donuts are sweetest in multiplayer mode, so press start on a dozen and chomp on a maze of flavors with family, friends, and coworkers, said Dave Skenna.
Did you mean to say that like Count Donut? It's
hard to not say Dave Skenna like Count Donut. Partnering with Bandai Namco and Pac-Man is a new high score of sweetness.
They already used that one.
Today marks an incredible milestone as we celebrate Pac-Man's legacy and his 45 years of impact across genders and...
This Pride Month, we must celebrate everything that Pac-Man has given us. No one has done more. Oh, my God.
Hey,
do you think that next they'll partner with Sega and make me a donut that looks like Sonic's foot that I can eat like I've always dreamed of?
Hey, Sonic's foot? Hold on. Your verbiage is confusing.
I want to eat Sonic's foot.
Okay, stop.
Especially if it's cream-filled.
Okay, but do you want to eat Sonic's red shoe that his foot always lives inside?
That's his foot.
Okay.
Wait, Griffin, sorry. Are you saying that there are images out there somewhere of his foot without a shoe on?
We have worked.
Don't you dare, Paul. Don't you dare.
Paul, I'll walk off. I'm done.
We would need to cover ourselves in tarps like we're on the front row of a Gallagher show before we start showing uncensored Sonic feet up here.
Yeah, not for free. Hey, that's on our Patreon.
Hey, Paul, can I very briefly show the other image? This is more of a Munch Squad Junior, and I just want to let everybody know that Mars has launched the Twix Snickerdoodle. The flavor fans have been waiting for this.
Can I just say real quick?
Yeah.
I forgot that Mars was the name of the company that makes candy, so I saw Mars launches.
Yeah.
And oh, Twix no. in the same thing, and I was like, did we fucking put candy on Mars?
This is the press release that feels the most like somebody's like, well, I have to do it legally, but I don't know what to write. And here's what they came up with. Twix.
Good start.
Proudly part of Mars, which is true, is launching its latest product innovation, Twix Snickerdoodle. Inspired by the worn cinnamon sugar goodness of a classic Snickerdoodle cookie, this new release taps into the deep well of nostalgia. Hey, what's that mean? What could that mean? I mean, what could it mean? It goes in the deep well of nostalgia while embracing the current tastes and trends that fans crave.
Cool. Yeah. Huh.
That's so it transcends time and space.
Guys, here's what I'm trying to get across to you. Twix Snickerdoodle takes everything that fans love about Twix.
Yeah. Yeah.
Crunchy cookie.
Yeah.
Gooey caramel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Smooth milk chocolate.
Yeah. There's two of them.
And then it levels it up with a cinnamon sugar swirl of Snickerdoodle flavored caramel. The result is a bold new bar that brings cozy cookie energy to the candy aisle.
Oh, shit. Travis is being penetrated from nostalgia from the past and energy from what may be.
Where did I go?
Here at the nexus of past and future is Twix.
I've seen it all.
Twix Snickerdoodle is the third cookie-inspired flavor to join the Twix lineup, right behind the hit debut of Twix Cookie Dough and Twix Cookies and Clam.
And what?
And what?
Clam.
I sure thought said you clam. Said clam.
Yeah.
Cookies and clam. Now this...
I know it's a little bit unorthodox, but I've got a pitch for a flavor combination you guys are going to go nuts for.
Now, they come to Martin Twirliger, and they say, Martin, marketing president of Mars Wrigley North America, we need a quote about Twix Snickerdoodle. And he said, I have nothing. And they say, please, please, Martin, you must have something. He said, well, I do have one quote that I swore I'd never use. Because it could be used for any Twix product, and it would surely show that I had given up on the Twix brand. Please, Martin, we're desperate. We're going to print. Okay, if you insist.
He gets out a small wooden chest from under his bed.
Two keys from underneath his.
He calls his. He calls
at the same time.
He calls his ex-wife to bring in the key that she has around her neck. He gave her 30 years ago. He opens it up. Because Twix is the iconic brand of two, we're always looking for ways to double down on flavor.
Yeah, man.
Twix Snickerdoodle gives fans a new twist on the layers they already love. It's the perfect balance of familiar and trendy flavors, and we know it's going to be a fan favorite. And then he turned to dust.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's the Munch Squad. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And I know that I just talked a lot, but I'm going to talk a little bit more. Please. I recently got a new boss at my very corporate job. During their introduction to our team, they mentioned they have been a contestant on a hit television program, Naked and Afraid. Twice. My question is, should I watch? I fear that seeing the bare ass of the person who determines my financial future would ruin the professional relationship immediately, especially if they do poorly in a funny or sad way. And that's from Mooned by my manager in Minneapolis. Are you here? Hi.
Yeah, you're here.
I've never watched the show, but I'm strongly under the impression that there's a lot of blurring and censoring going on. You know?
I think you can show an ass, dude, no problem. I've seen ass on Survivor for sure. They don't show front stuff, but I've seen ass after ass on Survivor.
You
man.
Sound like a 12-year-old boy bragging to his friends. Yeah, I've seen ass on Survivor.
Oh, your parents don't let you watch Survivor?
That's a shame. I saw Mike White's ass.
It was week 8 or something. It was bad, but it was an ass for sure, my dude.
Write it down on the list.
I would say that I realized that being worried that the people around us are going to do poorly in a funny or sad way is just part of being alive. You can't run from that. People are going to do poorly in funny and sad ways every day around you. And it's your job to figure out how to deal with that. You can't put it off. You can't run from it. You can't be either naked or afraid. You have to just embrace it.
Yes. I would also point out that this seems to me like a classic corporate power move. Because here's what I'm thinking. This is your new boss in a very kind of corporate business. There's no way they would bring up in an icebreaker that they were on Naked and Afraid twice.
Oh, come on.
If they weren't proud of it in some way.
There was a story in the newspaper about it, I guarantee you, local business fella.
Does bad.
In a both funny and sad way on Naked and Afraid.
How about this? They did it a second time. They came back for a second episode.
Yeah.
How bad could the first episode have been?
Yeah.
That they were convinced. I'm saying both times they were like, oh, you're trying to call out the big dog? Yeah. You want me to come out? I'm not gonna lie. I'm a little less afraid this time.
Do you think?
But a lot more naked.
Do you think?
I'm gonna turn inside out.
Do you think when you come back for the second season of Naked and Afraid, there's a moment where they blast all the clothes off you, like at the beginning of a Metroid game, where it's like, oh my, oh no, I made those clothes last time on Naked and Afraid. What's that? A guy with a knife? Ah, I'm scared again, too. Fuck. I can't believe this.
Dracula's here? Fuck.
Oh, no.
You guys really upped your game for this one.
It would be a cool thing to just save. For the appropriate moment.
Yeah.
You just pull it out at the right time.
You're saying you don't drop it in Two Truths and a Lie, no matter how bad you want to. God, so bad, so
no,
bad.
No. Don't let it go. And then, yes. No, I think that once you are being terminated on the off chance, it happens to some of us, that's one that you could bust out. And in closing, Philip, I've seen your bare butt.
Or you could, do an Uno reverse of that power move when they're like, hey, you really didn't deliver on that proposal I asked you to do. And you're like, yeah. Would you say, Philip, I kind of showed my ass?
So I don't think you should extort your boss because of their...
Griffin, I deliver that information without asking for anything in return. I think that's slander. Extortion, you expect compensation in some way.
If you've got to... Naked and Afraid is nude art, and do you have a problem with nude art?
Yeah, really good question, Griffin.
Your boss participated in nude art. Grow up a little bit.
We're all naked underneath here.
Yeah.
We're all pretty afraid, I'd say.
It sounds like your boss is naked, and you're afraid of the beautiful human body.
But
one of the great gifts from the big guy, I'll remind you.
Dad?
Sorry, Juice. I forget sometimes you're saying God gave us our incredible nude bodies.
In the Garden of Eden, Griffin. Yeah,
awesome.
read the Bible,
the
man.
The original Naked and Afraid, when they were cast out after eating the apple. I've got some literature backstage I want to show you.
I can't wait.
About nude art. You're going to love this shit.
Why don't we
have... Dude, I've got some pictures of everything.
Travis has so many pictures of Survivor butts to show us backstage. I'm over the moon.
I had it printed out in a book. It was beautifully bound in leather. It's lovely. You'll love it. It's real human butt skin.
On that note, maybe we should go backstage and look at Travis's new Survivor collectibles.
All right, so here's the deal. We're going to take a break. You are going to go use...
This was pre-planned. We're not going to go look at Survivor nudity, I promise.
Hey, don't let them fool you. They both got so revved up.
Okay, listen. Don't listen to Travis. Listen to me, okay? We're really going to take a bathroom break, and you are, and you can buy a poster. They're out in the lobby, right? They're,
thank you, Samara. This is one of my favorites. It kicks ass.
That's your only chance to get them. Go get a coin. Go use the bathroom. Go send us a question, and then we'll be back with you in just a minute, okay? Thank you very much. You know, Griffin?
Yes, Travis.
No one really knows how stamps work.
No one. They're little pictures that make mail go places? Crazy.
Yeah. I don't know if they have microchips in them that are programmed to deliver the mail to places.
And my question is, what doesn't have microchips in them now in 2025?
Macrochips don't have microchips in them.
That's absolutely true. Yeah. How do I get these little magic pictures, Trev?
Well, Griffin, man, am I glad you asked, because for a long time, you'd have to go somewhere.
That sucks.
Yeah, man. It's going somewhere, the worst. But luckily with stamps.com, you don't have to go anywhere. You can do it right from home.
Oh, that sounds way better.
And especially in this day and age where so many people are doing business from home and shipping out a bunch of stuff, like, I don't know, invoices, or I don't know, maybe they're making jewelry out of stuff they find around the house.
Yep.
They have to ship a lot of stuff. Yeah, I know. You make a lot of spoon jewelry, and I appreciate it.
I call it spoonery.
Yeah. You have used up all your spoons, though, and you eat cereal with a fork? I've been meaning to talk to you about that.
It's wet.
Yeah.
It's a big wet mess.
But with stamps.com, it's not a mess.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear that.
Because you can take care of it wherever you are, and they even have a mobile app, it's so easy, and they have up to 89% off rates on USPS and UPS.
That's almost 100%, basically.
If you were to round up, yeah, I guess. So don't waste time worrying about being a postage expert or standing in line to drop off letters and packages. Let stamps.com do what they do best so you can do what you do better. Took me a second to parse that sentence, but it makes sense.
It makes sense. It's just you should have done a dry run on it. Probably.
I know, but I don't like doing things dry, like cereal. So right. Go to stamps.com and use code MYBROTHER to sign up for a special offer. No contract. Cancel anytime. That's stamps.com. Code MYBROTHER, all one word.
You remember when Bill jumped his skateboard over the fire pit in the backyard during the big 4th of July barbecue baby back rib bash?
I kind of remember it, yeah.
Well, I took 100 pictures of it because Bill died from that.
Yeah, but doing what he loved.
Doing what he loved, jumping over the big fire during the baby back barbecue. And that picture is, one, evidence for court. But two, a special, precious summer memory. And
it is weird that there's foul play suspected when everybody watched him, like, say, I'm going to jump over that fire. And everybody was like, no, please don't do that. I'm going to do it.
Bill had 100 beers.
Yeah.
And so I think that is maybe the foul. But we don't have that in photographic form, just the awesome stunt he did as his last act on Earth.
You can see in the photo, I'm looking at it now, that he had an additional 20 beers in his cargo pants pockets.
Yeah.
And that might have contributed. And
he didn't get much. I said over the big fire. It was really pretty smack dab right.
That was the plan originally.
Yeah. So anyway, Aura Frames is the best way to commemorate Bill and all of your favorite summertime memories. It is the best digital photo frame, according to Wirecutter, and they know what they're talking about. And according to me, Griffin McElroy, this is the best digital photo frame. We have given these out to so many people because it's super easy. There's unlimited storage. You add as many photos and videos as you can find. It's super simple to set it up. You just plug it in and you share away. And if you have people in your life who are not the most tech savvy, but you want to see pictures of your kids or your cool classic car collection or Bill who died, you can get all of that stuff uploaded for them and manage like their library for them. And then they don't have to worry about a thing. They just get all these precious memories in their beautiful Aura frame.
So, Griffin, if I wanted to memorialize the amateur daredevil in my life,
yes,
how would I do that?
Well, you can start reliving your favorite memories by visiting AuraFrames.com. For a limited time, listeners can get $35 off on their best-selling Carver Matt frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Promo code MYBROTHER. Support the show by mentioning us at checkout. Terms and conditions apply.
Oh, they always do, don't they?
That's true, Trav. Hey, we got some live shows coming up, friends. We're going to be in Atlanta next here at the end of the month. We're going to be doing Mabim Bam. We're going to be doing Taz versus Popeye, which is going to be unhinged. We're going to be doing stuff at Dragon Con. We're also going to be doing some shows later in the year in Texas, Utah, and California.
Announced in Texas we're doing Adventure Zone versus Hercules.
Yes, I'm very excited about that. All our Taz shows
won't
are going to be Taz
disappointed!
Versus. I hope it'll be more Disney-focused, less Sorbo. I mean, there will probably be a fair amount of Sorbo content, but not in any kind of way that endorses the fella.
As the one running it, the exact opposite.
Yeah. Tickets for all our shows are on sale now, and you can get those tickets and find out all the info at bit.ly/MacRoyTours.
We've also got a back-to-school sale going on with select items up to 40% off. We've got back-to-school bundles there and a free mystery pin with purchases of $30 or more. And 10% of all proceeds this month are going to World Central Kitchen. So go check that out, macroymerch.com. And you know what? Let's get back to the show.
Bye. I mean, not bye. Don't turn it off. Listen to the rest of the show, but bye from us here in the ads. Bye.
Howdy there. So sorry to interrupt whatever amazing show you were listening to, but it's time for an ad. I'll be so quick and get you back to your show. Don't worry. I'm host Austin, one half of a podcast called Secret Histories of Nerd Mysteries that I make with my good friend Brenda. We talk about the pop culture stuff you like Thundercats and Yu-Gi-Oh! Did you know that the Thundercats are cousins with Farrah Fawcett? Or that Yu-Gi-Oh! Once caused a riot? You probably want to know more. You can find us at Maximum Fun or wherever you get podcasts every single Tuesday.
The wizard's answer, 8x8. The conclave's call to demonstrate their arcane gift, their single spell. They number 64. Until a conflagration! 63 and 62 they soon shall be, as one by one the wizards die. Till one remains to reign on high.
Join us for Taz Royale, an Oops All Wizards Battle Royale season of the Adventure Zone, every other Thursday on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
We haven't checked in a while. Would you say you're living faster than fear this year?
I mean, I don't know. I feel like the fear is trying to keep a pace.
Justin, how are you doing? Vis-a-vis your relative speed to fear.
It's cool to start out the act of our show with, are you afraid?
I'm doing great. Thank you for asking.
We're going to turn the camera outward towards you all. There's no camera. I don't know why I said that.
The camera of life.
We're going to do audience questions. But before we do that, I like to think that we make an impact like Pac-Man.
We transcend gender.
We transcend gender here at My Brother and Me.
Also, this is the time for our traditional and customary apology to the people who sit in the splash zone of light. I'm so sorry you didn't sign up to be the background players for the audience questions. We appreciate you.
Yeah. Thanks for taking one for the team.
I saw someone approach. Yeah, you're good. You can approach them. You're second?
That's okay.
Fine. You two, rock, paper, scissors.
Everyone's
just
so
kidding.
Orderly. We okay, welcome, my friend. Hello. Hi, how's it going?
Good.
Excellent.
Cool. Good to see you.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming.
What is your name?
My name's Matthew.
What is your question?
So I'm staying with my sister currently, and she refuses to buy breakfast food while we're visiting. How do I get my sister to buy, like, bagels so that we have something for breakfast?
Is your sister here?
No, she's not.
Awesome. When you say refuses... Like, you've been like, hey, would it be okay to buy some bagel? And she's like, no!
It's a consistent problem. It's been brought up before, and, like, we have family gatherings at her house regularly. Never buys any breakfast food.
Could you bring some next time you go? Bury them around the yard
Travis,
for next time.
If that
time.
Was an option, Matthew would...
No. I'm saying for future, like a squirrel. You bury them, and so when you come back, you're like, wait, there's some cinnamon raisin by the fence.
That's embarrassing, though, if... You wouldn't fulfill my one dirty need, so I had to bring my own bagels from home. which I buried in the yard like a dog for some additional reason.
Well, yeah, Griffin, if you put them under her mattress, they're going to get flattened.
Okay, fine.
Come on, think.
They are doing yard work, so I think I could sneak things into the yard.
Get some bagel dead drops going. Is your sister not a big bagel a breakfast eater?
Yeah, they don't eat breakfast at all.
I mean, you could save them from themselves.
It's and I'm gonna, everybody brace yourself, because this is the first time you've ever heard this. It's the most important meal of the day.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, I don't think you're the bad person for wanting to eat a delicious bagel. I think we all get that. Sometimes you go to people's houses and they don't have diet soda, and it's like, okay.
It's too bad that your sibling isn't Justin McElroy, because anytime we go stay at that dude's house, he's like, remember how you said you liked those Toll House pretzel flips 3 years ago? I found a box of them on eBay for you especially.
I like to put out a spread for breakfast, get everybody energized for the day. You know, sometimes a simple can of cinnamon rolls, you know, a little
along with the large pantry of various cereals that you've bought on a whim.
Professionally, Travis. Yeah,
yeah, sorry,
professional critic. I think if you show up with a bag of bagels under your arm, but don't leave them in the kitchen. Leave them with your personal stuff. And then when you come down for breakfast, you have the bagels underneath your arm already. It's
That's
your personal
cool.
bag. And if anybody gets any ideas, isn't that interesting?
Yeah. You should be allowed to have a breakfast locker at your sister's house that only you know the passcode to and is full of your favorite special stuff.
Does breakfast locker fit the bill?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you so much,
Matt. Thank you.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, my name is Lo.
And thank you for waiting in an orderly line. You were first to the microphone.
You were so deferent.
But you did defer.
Very tasteful. Thank you.
My Faster Than Fear this year was joining the local femme armored combat team.
Hell yeah.
League.
Yeah.
We have two leagues here. We have a open team, which is the Twin City Wyverns, and then we have the Flowers of Battle, which is the femme team, which I'm joining.
Okay.
And I want to know how to intimidate the other teams.
Okay. I mean, when you say combat,
imagine we know nothing aside from some pretty badass clips of TikTok that I have seen of this exact sport. Give me sort of a basic rundown.
How aggressive can you be?
Okay, so Buhurt is actually a Ukrainian-based sport that is full armor. There's different types of fights between like duels and stuff like that, but it is... there's a few places you can't hit, like back of the neck, back of the knees, etc. But other than that, you are in full armor hitting each other.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can think of two ways just from what you just said of how you could become an incredibly intimidating figure in this sport. I only watch one sport, and it's hockey. And the only people who...
Wait, are there fans of hockey in Minnesota?
It's the ones who do the stuff you're not supposed to do that the other ones kind of keep an eye out for. Maybe just the back of the leg stuff, though. Back of the neck stuff feels egregious. But if you can be like, oh, better watch out for Lo, they do back of the leg stuff.
What if, Lo, you showed up to this armored combat event, no armor. And you were like, I ain't even worried about it.
That's cool. Hey, are you so good that no one's ever gotten you even once? No, because Travis's
then
idea...
Don't try to intimidate them. Yeah. Lo, you should be worried about placating them. If you get hit at all, I don't know about you, but me, I'd be like, how do I convince them? I do want to be part of the league, but I don't like getting hit.
I think, Lo, if I were you, I would show up in the armor and never take the armor off and make sure you find your opponents before they put their armor on.
What about
go check the back of their neck? You know, like you got a little measuring tape. Like, oh, nice.
Just making sure. Yeah,
perfect. That's exactly nice. I don't have one of those. A back of a neck, I mean. Anyway,
what if you, instead of at the event, get them before they put their armor on? Get them way before the event before they put their armor on.
That's cool.
And like, they wake up and you're there full armor with a sword and you say like, a Lo always pays their debts. And you hit him in the chest right then.
Well, no.
Say, all right, you're out. I'll see you at the event.
Is that how it works? If you hit him in the chest, you say you're out?
No, you'd, The goal is to hit them hard enough that they go down most of the time, or it's point-based system.
So when
I
they're
stand
about
by
to,
my idea.
Yeah. When they're about to leave for the event, they open their front door, you throw a big handful of table salt in their eyes, I guess. And then they can't drive there, and it's like DQ.
That's cool.
Oh, just cut their brake lines.
Yeah, there's like 100 ways to fuck up their car. And that would be not intimidating, so we're just kind of having fun up here and disregarding the premise of your question entirely.
What about double armor? You've got armor on, and then you put bigger, thicker armor over it.
Lo, this is going to be a lot, and I apologize in advance. Can you pretend to be killed during a fight?
Hold on.
But then come back to life.
That would be really good. I don't think you'll have... You'll probably start to get some non-believers after a few years. So you probably only need to pull this stunt once every...
Yeah.
What do you think? 72 months to do it.
How about every time you show up, you wear shoes that are 1 inch taller? Oh, and so by like the 12th time, shit. Like, you know? Yeah.
Lo, I feel like we've really helped a lot. Do you agree?
More than usual.
Amazing.
Yeah, right. thank you so much, Lo. Good luck. Lo,
appreciate you.
Hello.
Hi, my friend. How's it going?
It's going good. I'm Kyle, he, him.
Hi, Kyle. I just want to say real quick, Kyle, before you get to your question, that I appreciate our fans so much for so many reasons, for letting us live this incredible creative life that we get to live and to work together as family. It's so special and so wonderful. But what I love the most is that every live show, you guys always kneel down in the aisles.
As if to say, don't perceive me.
And I love it. No, you're not. You're trying not to block sight lines for everybody else.
Lines.
And you all are so thoughtful and amazing.
So
and
thank you.
I just wanted to say thank you for that.
Yeah, you're good eggs.
Or you don't like standing up for a long time. And I get that,
is also
too,
cool.
Man. Hell yeah.
Okay, Kyle. Hello.
Hello. So I'm auditioning for the Minnesota Vikings drumline.
Hell yeah.
I thought that sentence was going to end with Vikings, and then I was going to be like, just from the jump, I don't think they call it auditioning.
Yeah. I'm still bulking up for the season. Okay?
I'm assuming kicker, we can agree, kicker, okay.
I've prepared two monologues and 90 seconds of a song. I didn't look into what they do, but I love acting like a Viking.
Okay, so you're auditioning for the drumline for the Vikings.
Yeah, and so part of the final audition has us playing a solo in front of a panel of judges. That part's normal. The trouble is that this solo is happening on a stage in the middle of the Mall of America, open to the public. So I know what to play for judges and other percussionists, but I don't know how to do that and also play for like a general audience at the same time. So my question is, how can I hype up the Mall of America crowd while also still impressing the regular judges?
Okay, so Kyle, I'm hoping just to get a baseline. I'll give you a few standard... Sorry?
Oh, boy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. That one option is everyone here shows up and pops off.
If I could get a baseline...
Bass drum line.
Thank you. If you could just give me like a... Just in your standard delivery, no extra muster or anything, just like a, okay, party people, are we ready to rock? Just to get like
but
a...
But Kyle, just do it
Kyle,
like you
like
normally...
Like just like how you normally do
like
it.
Like how you normally do it.
Okay, party people, ready to rock?
Yeah. Dude.
I'm fucking.
If I'm
hyped to the max.
If I'm at the Mall of America and I see someone wearing one of those big drum things and they say that way into a microphone, I'm grabbing my kids by the hand, saying, "Sorry, we're not going on the SpongeBob roller coaster. I got to see what this fucking dude's bringing to the table."
Yeah,
I would try. I would start with a slow point to the upper decks. You know what I mean? Like a slow, like calling it before you even start drumming. There's gonna be such a lack of drumming that people will look down, like, "What is going on down there?" I thought they were supposed to be drumming today.
Kyle, here's what happens: you get up there with your drum. Do you play the drums that lay down or the drum that stands up?
It's a snare drum, so it's just
okay.
The
great,
one.
Perfect.
Oh, that's the
funkiest
one.
You get up there, you start to hit. Oh, it makes a weird noise. What? You pick up a disc golf disc. What? Your friend's up there on the second level. You hit an ace. You say, Smoochtown, they kiss. You start fucking going at it.
Yeah. Kyle, I guarantee if you deliver that callback joke to this one specific live podcast recording,
they will love it.
The entire Mall of America is going to lose their fucking minds.
Are you good at drums?
I mean, I like to think I'm okay.
Okay, yeah. I just didn't know if this was like on a whim. I woke up one day and decided to audition.
Let's put it this way. The Vikings didn't ask me to audition.
Sure. So then you probably don't need us up here going like, have you tried like goong-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha?
Do that APT song. I think that would be fun.
Yeah, and have like you ever tried... Does the goosh, does the goosh, does the goosh, does the goosh.
What about butter getta, butter getta, butter getta?
Yeah.
Red leather, yellow leather.
I like, you could do that part in the Whiplash movie at the end when he's like playing the drum solo and he's like, bah, bah, bah. First off, do that whole drum solo. It's fucking crazy. But then that part where he's like, dun, 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 and he slows it way down for like 15 fucking minutes while J. Jonah Jameson's going like, I hate you, but this is so good.
Listen, I don't know how much 10 minutes of J. Jonah Jameson's time costs, but if you could get him there to yell at you while you play.
Yes.
No matter how your audition goes,
yeah,
they're gonna be impressed.
Yeah.
Because they're like, fuck, is that J.K. J. Jonah Jameson?
J.K. J. Jonah Jameson Simmons? Damn. Can you squirt a little bit of fake blood in your palms at the end of your solo and just be like,
better, I can hire somebody to slap me and say I'm not getting their tempo.
Yeah. Just get it.
Then you start hitting them with your drumsticks until they die. And they're like, whoa, we also can do drum self-defense.
And then I can audition for the football team after that.
Hell yeah!
Exactly. Yeah.
Does that help?
Does that help?
It does. Absolutely.
All right. Thank you so much. Good luck, Kyle, on your big audition. Luck.
I believe in you.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi.
Hi, I'm Tate. They them.
Hi, Tate. How's it going?
Going all right.
Good. Good.
Oh, okay.
What's your question?
So I asked you guys this way before the pandemic. I have a pug that I have to take on walks several times a day.
Yeah.
He has a really bad habit where whenever we're next to like a chain link fence, he backs his back legs up onto the fence, like with his feet.
Yeah.
Lines his asshole up with the chain link fence.
Yeah.
And then poops through the fence into someone else's yard.
Yeah.
Always.
Right.
And so... my issue is, I've been faced with several times.
I know what your
issue is.
Do
I break into this yard to pick up the turd?
Right.
Or do I, like, ghost? Because this has been an issue in the past.
Well, I'm so glad you asked that. So, Griffin, what does Rachel do when you poop through a chain link fence?
The idea that I could release stool without being completely secure, without having a shell, a two-factor authentication fail-safe system around me is so ridiculous that the joke you just made doesn't make any fucking sense.
Tate, I'm really glad that you described this as like your pug has a weird habit and not a fetish. Like,
yeah, I don't want to freak you out, Tate, but this is like DEFCON 9. Like, Caesar Milan rolls up and is like, fuck, man, what?
How did you react the very first time it happened?
Kind of like, huh, that was a really weird one-off.
Better.
And then, like, the next day I was like,
Here's
I don't know.
That's crazy, because if I saw a human shitting through a chain link fence, my first thought wouldn't be like, first time they've done this, I bet. Wow, I'm catching a truly original moment here.
So, Tate, I don't know if you know this. I used to be a professional dog trainer at PetSmart.
There's no way you have any experience with this exact thing.
No, not this exact thing, but...
I don't know if finger blasting dog anuses
no,
comes
no,
into
no.
play.
Okay.
Tate's referencing a bit.
I can't stress this enough. That was a different job.
And
was not part of dog training, and I was not finger blasting.
Of
the dog.
All the gerunds,
I was squeezing their anal glands, and I was bad at it.
I think
neither of us enjoyed it.
The dog, the dogs only liked it because of how bad he was at it, Tate.
They enjoyed laughing and my experience, but what I was going to
say, Tate. You wouldn't call it finger blasting if you're bad at it, guys.
Finger poking. You have to catch your pug. Every time you see him look at a fence and pause for a moment and decide not to do it, then you got to praise the fuck out of him. Yeah, like, good boy, not shitting through that fence.
Catch him being good. Absolutely. Stay away from fences. Is that a possibility?
I think we can.
You can't just fences.
No, listen. I know a dog. What's the dog's name?
Portobello.
That's okay. Fucking great. I know. I've met dogs
good.
Like this.
Good.
I've met... I've met dogs like this, Tate, and you can't discipline them in the traditional way. You got to get on their level and be like, hey, Portobello, I get it. Every time I look at a chain link fence, I also think, how funny. I have a super funny, nasty idea.
I wish I was a little dirty dog so I could do my, my nasty trick.
Here's what you got to do, Tate. Get a section of chain link fence at home. Really zhuzh it up.
Yeah.
Make it fancy. Make it an extreme pleasure to use. And then Portobello sees other chain link fences and thinks, I got better at home.
That's true.
I'm going to save it. Like when I'm traveling and I see any toilet that's not my favorite toilet at home.
And you bust out your chain link fence.
Now, yeah, and then I go home and I shit through a chain link fence for the amusement of everyone.
I got a kick-ass idea, Tate. If it looks like this is about to happen and there's a house with a chain link fence, real quick, you run up to the front door, knock, ring the doorbell, say, hey, my dog is about to shit through your chain link fence. It is now your decision which direction it goes through. Are we going...
The clock is ticking.
He can go left to right, right to left. But whether or not it happens is not an option.
Do you want an outside job or an inside job?
Tate, does that help?
I think that helps.
Thank you so much, Tate.
Thank you.
And thank you all so much for coming to our show. You all have been, I imagine most of you were also here last night. You've been fucking rad and amazing. And we love you and appreciate you so much. I want to say a huge thank you to our dad, Clint McElroy, for walking us on tonight. To Amanda, our business manager, and our audio engineer this weekend, who's been handling the recordings.
To tour manager Paul, thank you for being here.
Paul. Thank you, tour manager Paul, the wind beneath our wings.
I want to say thank you to Tom.
Thank you to Tom.
That video that you see in intermission and all of our video work, that's thanks to Tom.
Except for the work that Miggy does, yes. Tom does the rest.
Tom and Nate went disc golfing today, and they had the good taste not to invite us, so thank you for that, guys. Hard agree.
Thank you to Shannon for taking my older brother to a candy store.
Very cool.
Thank you to Samara Jethwa for this incredible poster.
Make sure you get yours.
There may still be some outside. There's also probably still some Memorial Canned Food Drive challenge coins out there. So go check those out. Thank you to Montaigne for the use for our theme song, My Life is Better With You. Thank you to the Fitzgerald for having us.
Thank you to the Fitzgerald Theater. This is lovely. You were wonderful.
It's been amazing. Seriously, it's been the best time here. So thank you all so much. And we have one more fear that someone has sent in that they would like to be faster than. And it looks like everyone's turned off their devices, so I'm going to be the one reading it by default.
I was thinking, what if like we had the audience call out something after we read it, like, be faster? Or
no, that
like
scares me. I don't like that. So don't do that.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, no, don't do that. Don't. Bad idea.
Wink.
No, don't do it. Here we go. This year, I want to live faster than my fear of touching the honey bottle. Sometimes life's sticky.
My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
It's my brother, me. Kiss your dad square on the lips.
It's true.
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported directly by you.